We are live from the Phoenix Park Hotel, beautiful Washington, D.C. And yes, I am Ann Eller, and it's my great privilege to say that I have Congressman Trey Gowdy sitting across from me. Your hair looks marvelous today, Trey.
Well, thank you. If you have as many different styles as I do, you're bound to hit on the right one at some point. So thank you. It must be the wind.
It is the wind. Yes, it is pretty windy out there. Hey, what about all the cops and everything? Looks like we had a little action out there on the Capitol here today.
Yeah, there was a fella in a single unit helicopter apparently wanted to protest campaign finance reform. So I would encourage him to pick another way to do it, but he has a right to protest, but I think this way is going to get you arrested. So
yeah, it looked like it pretty stopped everything up there. But you've been busy. What you been working on here in the last couple of days?
Well, we had an oversight hearing on Ex-Im Bank, and no matter what your perspective on Ex-Im is, you would want there to be oversight of that bank. And Mick Mulvaney and Jimmy Jordan and Jason Chaffetz and others did a great job this morning on that. Yesterday was the DEA. And allegations were actually more than allegations of soliciting prostitutes while they were supposed to be investigating the drug cartels. And as a former prosecutor, I don't enjoy those hearings because I do like law enforcement, but right. It has to be done. You have to provide the oversight. So that, and there's always work to be done with respect to our committee on Benghazi.
Absolutely. Now, just let's go ahead and pick one out of the hat, Benghazi and Hillary and the emails. I know those are two separate issues. Where are we at on that?
Well, with respect to Benghazi, the news is positive and good, and that we are at least on track, if not a little ahead of where we thought we would be in terms of witness interviews. And it never ceases to amaze me that when the mainstream media says this is the seventh or eighth investigation, it makes one wonder why the previous seven investigations didn't bother to interview some of the eyewitnesses or get all the documents. So we're making great progress there. I sat down with our staff director today to make sure that we have an investigative plan that is robust and will get us towards writing a report in due course. With respect to Secretary Clinton, we have asked her to come in before May the 1st and explain her unique, if not unprecedented, email arrangement. We have not heard back from her, but as you noted, those are two separate lines of analysis, and we're going to treat them separately.
You know, the thing with the emails is just phenomenal to me that she could have that much control and that there was no control giving the information back to the State Department.
Well, control is certainly one of the issues. The other thing I find stunning is that she had separated from the Department of State for almost 2 years before they bothered to ask for the records back. It's not as if she had them for a week or so.
Right.
She had them until, frankly, the State Department realized that they were going to need them. And the notion that you can just hire a lawyer to go through your emails and determine what's in the public domain and what's not, I continue to think we need a neutral, detached third party to make those decisions, and I look forward to being able to ask her with more specificity some of those questions in the near future.
Sure. But what about the destroying of the server?
Well, I don't know that the server's been destroyed. She said the emails have been permanently deleted, but as we learned with the IRS and other investigations, nothing's ever really permanently deleted. And again, I have no interest at all in emails about bridesmaids' dresses or, what kind of wedding cake to have. I have a lot of interest in everything we're entitled to with respect to Benghazi. But keep in mind, she was Secretary of State over far more than just Benghazi and Libya. So there are other media outlets like yourself, there are citizens, there are committees of Congress that would be interested in the full body of her work as Secretary of State, and she so far has been the sole arbiter of what we're entitled to, and I just that is not why we have a Federal Records Act.
Do you think that this could have anything to do with her, with dissuading or causing her not to be nominated for the Democratic candidate for president?
You cannot find a less astute political observer than me. I can't even tell you who the Republican nominee is going to be, so Lord knows I can't tell you who the Democrat nominee is going to be. I'm going to let the politics sort itself out, and I'm going to put on the hat of just investigating what happened, and people can make their own minds up.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, let's talk a little bit about immigration and where we're going with this. You, of course, are on sit on immigration. And what is happening with our borders, number one? Number two, what about the influx that we can't seem to control at all, Trey?
Well, the border is not secure, and anyone who tells you otherwise with a straight face, you shouldn't believe anything else they tell you. And this administration has a very curious way of keeping stats. And they're apparently the only ones in the Western Hemisphere that think our border is secure. The remedy for that is it's probably threefold, but part of the remedy is for my side of the aisle to figure out how to win national elections. And then if we can win a national election, we need to secure the border, because we've had Republican presidents in the past who also did not take great steps to secure the border. So this is, to me, an American issue, not necessarily a political issue. Mm-hmm. Sovereign nation ought to be able to know who is coming and going from its country. Just like if you were to go to the Capitol right now, you would have to go through a metal detector. You ought to have to go through something to come into our country. I think immigration reform as a whole is on life support right now, in part because the president decided to go it alone. And that's in court. And so far, he's losing in court.
But is there the stomach of the House and the Senate to really push it through?
I can't speak for the Senate. You know, the framers gave them certain tools like advice and consent, and whether or not, I'm sure some senators are using the Loretta Lynch nomination as a way to get answers on the president's executive action. We tried the funding route. We weren't in a great position after December to kind of press that issue. We're kind of playing defense. The time to really assert ourselves would have been in December with the CR.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have an appropriations process coming up in the spring, and that will be another opportunity. You know, our framers gave us the power of the purse.
Right.
And it'll be up to us whether or not we decide to use it or not, but that's what they gave us.
You know, you came out very recently and said we just ought to enforce the laws that we have on the books.
That'd be a nice start.
That would be a good start if we did start picking up people and deporting them.
Oh, how about just start with folks who have committed other offenses while they're here?
Right.
We had a hearing with the ICE, and she's a wonderful person, I'm sure. She's a former U.S. attorney, and I enjoyed talking to her, but we have diametrically different views on the enforcement of the law and respect for the rule of law. And it would be impossible for me to sit down with the victims or the parents of a victim and explain why somebody who is not here lawfully, who committed a separate, unrelated offense, was released and still not deported, committed another offense. I am not good enough at explain that away. But that is exactly the fact pattern that some of our fellow citizens are going to find themselves in. They're going to be victimized by folks who should have been deported a long time ago.
Now, we've got a lot of kids coming. They say it's the time of the year. We're going to start having the kids come back across the border here again. Anything that can be done?
I've heard that. Sure. We could have told the countries that are providing these children I hasten to add, at substantial risk to the children, get your acts together, or you can say goodbye to whatever foreign aid you may be receiving. Mm-hmm. To my knowledge, those conversations have not taken place. There are lots of ways to motivate people. We just don't seem, the president seems to talk tougher to House Republicans than he does to most foreign leaders.
Right. Now, you asked the other day, there's a case down there in Spartanburg where the Refugee Resettlement Watch, and it looks like they're trying to resettle some Muslims into Spartanburg. You asked for some information. Have you found out anything?
Not yet. The people that I work for had questions, and one of the jobs of a representative is to get answers when your constituents have questions.
Sure.
The Congress does not have a role in the selection of the site or the disapproval of the site, but we most assuredly have a role in being able to get answers. And I think the questions that we asked Secretary Kerry are eminently fair. They frankly should have been asked previously. I have heard from and understand arguments on both sides of the issue. However, what we can all agree on is knowledge and information is the power to make informed decisions. And you can't make informed decisions if you don't have access to all the information. And that's what I'm going to get for the people I work for.
Do you think you'll get it in a timely manner?
If we don't, then I would hope and expect the Department of State to not place anyone in our jurisdiction until they've answered what I think are really, really reasonable questions.
And what type of time frame is that?
Well, if you use the State Department's quickness in the past, sometime in the next 3 or 4 years will be when I get a response to it. But it depends on... we'll give them what we consider to be a reasonable amount of time. I think it was 17 questions or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If the secretary is motivated to answer them, he should be able to do it inside of a month. If he's not motivated to answer them, then that should tell people I work for that maybe we ought to take a step back. And the state officials who actually do have some control and power over this decision and
right.
the local officials... the fact that the Department of State's not willing to answer the questions or doesn't in a timely fashion should tell you something, too.
Absolutely. Well, Congressman Trey Gowdy, you know what? This is a great honor for you to sit down with us this afternoon. Thank you so much
the
for coming by.
The honor is mine. Thank you. It's wonderful to see you.
It is wonderful to see you in person. Thank
yes,
you
ma'am.
So much.
Thank you.
All right. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.